This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
All right, you ready for this one? This is where we're going to dive into the world of Kevin Frankie, the husband of Ruby Frankie, and still is the husband of Ruby Frankie, as we're about to learn more about, and his feelings towards Ruby. Stacey, your thoughts on Kevin as we begin this conversation.
You know, my heart kind of goes out to him and then I get angry. So yeah. I'm running the gamut of emotions here because I feel like you have a responsibility to your kids. And if your wife is not doing well, you have a responsibility to step in and help her and get her away from this crazed woman who took over her life. But I also can understand, you know what, maybe there wasn't anything he could do.
Well, there was, but it's the question of, was he mentally in a place where he saw that as an option to do it, I think is the big question.
And that's where I'm struggling, because I don't want to be overly critical and say, he should have done this, he should have done that. It's really different when you're in the situation. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to look back and say, here's what I should have done.
Yes.
You know what? When you know better, you should do better. And it sounds like he's got a lot of remorse. It sounds like he has indeed learned. And the kid has learned too.
Yeah.
He's really learned a lot. And I think this video that we are getting here that we're going to play in a little bit is from ABC News. They did an interview segment talking about, you know, what would you do differently? What, you know, how do you feel about life now? What are you doing now? And they talked about how their house is just full. They've got like animals everywhere and they're chewing up the floor and furniture and things like that. And Ruby would have been effing livid. Mm-hmm. And they're like, she's not here now, so we don't have to worry about it. I feel a sense of relief from them that she is not present in their lives.
Sure. No, without a doubt. And it makes you, do they go from one addiction to another, from that to pets?
Well, I mean, as long as they're taking care of them well,
you know,
what they did with the kids before.
What you find with people who are very susceptible to cult mentalities and things of that nature, they also tend to have addictive type personalities. And when it's that ingrained where it's like your whole life becomes eight passengers, your whole life becomes whatever Ruby and Jody want it to be. Your whole life becomes whatever those around you are doing. You know, it's folks who will kind of impulsively kind of go down those roads of let's fill our lives with this to an extreme amount. I love pets. I'm not saying anything against it. And if it's helping them heal, great. I have a lot of pets. I do. So I can't really speak here that it's a bad thing. It's just, I hope that's not like going to get to an unhealthy level of pets. Cause I've seen that before with people, but, that's good to hear. That's good to hear that they are finding joy in some of the simpler things. Cause when you're in a situation like that, even those little things in life that you have around you, like pets, you don't see them. You miss it because you're so entangled in the web of insanity of a character like a Ruby Frankie.
Well, and don't forget too, for people who've dealt with trauma, and you know, at some point we could talk about emotional support animals. Coming from the veterinary world, I get really upset with people who claim that their animal is an emotional support animal. I think all animals are. Mm-hmm. When you try to take a peacock on a flight, you've got a problem. That's
why?
Not how that works.
What's wrong with that? Just walk up and down the aisle?
But seriously, I think for anybody, any human being, whether you've got a verifiable illness, disease, animals are soothing and they're so loving and so unconditional. So I think in times of stress and anxiety, I think animals are a wonderful outlet. Yeah. I think they add so much to people's lives. I think it's great that that's what they're kind of branching out into, as long as they're doing it well.
Yeah, I like the peacock idea on a plane. Peacock on a plane.
Oh, that sounds like it would be a vet clinic. We had people coming in with mice. They want an emotional support mouse.
Are you serious?
What? I am dead serious.
Oh my God.
Like, will you fill out this paperwork? And my veterinarian just was like, no, no. I'm not saying that the pet wasn't lovely to them and gave them the loving feeling that they needed.
I'm saying that person needs more help than the mouse.
Well, and it's very, very, very realistic. But we're emotional support. We're talking dogs that sense seizures and can guide people
physically to be there places. As a body to help. Yeah.
Correct. And for the blind and visually impaired, that kind of thing. Yeah, we don't need to get into that discussion
because
people
peacocks,
will come at us going, wait a minute, my cat who's 17 years old is an emotional support. Well, mine's 15 and he is my emotional support, but I don't have him registered because that's not how it's going
to
work.
I'm still going back to peacocks. I really think that would be great. Emotional support peacock. I remember being chased by peacocks as a wee young lad. Actually,
we have them in Wisconsin.
Yes, you do. And
it's the weirdest freaking thing.
And they happen to live at like every garden center that exists.
Yes, they do. And that is not a joke. They are not native to Wisconsin, but they are here. And I don't know why. I've driven past them many times.
I remember that because my mom would always go to garden centers and I would just walk around and look at stuff. And at almost every one, there's some angry ass peacock running around and like hates children. And you're about the same height as the peacock. And you're just like wanting to go over and look at the pansies and there's a fucking peacock in the way. And you try to walk towards it and it's like, and it's like, woo! And its wings go out. You're like, what the fuck? You get traumatized by a peacock at the garden center. It's not a good situation. And I'm telling you, the scars last for a long time.
Damn right they do, friend. They do. And Tony, we're not pulling anybody's.
No, they actually. It's a true story.
I remember I was driving somewhere outside of the city I live in, and I was coming around a corner and had to slam on the brakes.
Yeah.
Usually in Wisconsin, when you have to slam on the brakes, it's because there's a deer there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a peacock in the middle of the fucking road.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And this was before I had a really nice cell phone I could have taken a picture with. I was like, nobody's going to believe me.
Yeah. No, they're all over in Wisconsin. They are. We're not making this up. It is a true story. But here's another true story. Kevin Franke, the husband of now disgraced partner influencer Ruby Franke, has finally broken his silence after keeping quiet while the internet burned down around his wife's trial. He's come forward to admit that, he screwed up big time. In a new interview, he says he put way too much trust in his wife and her business partner, Jody Hildebrandt, despite the growing pile of red flags about their extreme parenting advice, saying, quote, "The bottom line is I was choosing to trust a licensed professional mental health counselor and my wife, and they gave some terrible counsel." Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I kind of hear it. I kind of hear it. I do have grace for this guy because I do. He told Good Morning America
the right thing at the time.
What's that?
He thought he was doing the right thing.
He did. Obviously there's a lot of ways you look back on this and you go, you should do something different, but you do have to put yourself in his shoes at the time too. And you do have to understand the mindset of someone who can be influenced to be part of something like this to begin with. And then number two, the power that church has over its followers, the Mormon church. And when the Mormon church says, hey, you know what, Jody Hildebrandt, she's for you. She's going to help your marriage. And they do that. They have certain counselors that they recommend. And she at the time was one of them. She made the cut. Yeah, she had the other piece of the golden tablet or dish or whatever the fuck it is. So he's believing that this is what I should do as he goes to bed with his magic underwear on. He told Good Morning America, quote, "And I have regrets and I wish I hadn't done those things." Translation, I should have seen the warning signs and now I feel shitty about it. For those who missed the train wreck as it happened, Ruby Franke was a major momfluencer running a YouTube channel called 8 Passengers with over 2.5 million subscribers. That takes a lot of work to get there. And you have to be influential to have that many subscribers. So you got 2.5 million people thinking, hey, Ruby's a great mom. she's doing things right. And then you also had a lot of people who were just kind of along for the train wreck. That kind of came later, though. She had this whole brand built around tough love parenting, except as it turns out, tough love was just a rebranded version of straight up abuse. After her social media career started taking hits because, you know, people tend to frown upon kids being mistreated on camera. It's just kind of a big no-no. She linked up with Jody Hildebrand and co-founded Connections with an X. Connections Classroom, that is. On paper, it was a parenting and lifestyle brand offering counseling and retreats. In reality, it was a disaster waiting to happen and kind of a mini cult at best. And then in August of 23, it all came crashing down. Authorities found two of Ruby's kids malnourished and tied up in Hildebrand's house. One of them, a 12-year-old boy, managed to escape, duct tape still on his wrists and ankles, and ran to a neighbor for help. That's when police showed up and found the 9-year-old sister in just as bad shape. Now, if you've ever watched Eight Passengers, you might not be completely shocked here. They had a lot of red flags for years. The timer's son, Chad, casually mentioned in a video that he'd been forced to sleep in a beanbag for 7 months as a punishment. And you think back to being a kid for a second on that and you go, ooh, beanbags, those are comfortable. Not for 7 months straight as your only place to sleep. That can like really screw up your back and cause severe long-term or permanent damage. 7 months. Then fans started going, maybe she's not such a great mom. They started calling out her extreme parenting. Brands started dropping her because she had deals. And she doubled down by joining forces with Hildebrand, who somehow managed to take things to an even darker place. And remember this? Remember when we watched the clip, Stacey, about this, where it's like, oh, is Jody going to get this more on track? Or like, and so she's going to become a better parent? No. She just drove her to be an even worse parent and trying to find the truth, Jody's truth, which is like what ends up happening with the kids being emaciated in the closet and trying to escape.
What a painful thing to allow somebody else into your lives to basically wreck your relationship with your kids and basically allow her to abuse their kids. Yeah. That's what it came down to.
I don't... You know, I understand a lot of influence that a partner can have over the other. I understand a lot of influence that a parent can have over their children. But there's a certain line where it's like, if you cross this line, all bets are off, it's game over. And abusing the children, it should be one of them. And I guess it depends on what your definition of abuse is. And I guess some could argue some of the stuff that went on with Eight Passengers. Well, that's not abuse. That's tough love. I mean, it's abuse. It was flat out abuse that was going on there. But there were some other aspects that weren't quite abuse, but they were leading up to it. And kind of, she was always just kind of on the gray area over there. But now it looks far more obvious looking back retrospect. But it just makes you wonder so much about how you get to a place where flat out abuse, like look at the kids. I mean, the malnourished kids, the emaciated, their skin's like literally falling off their body. There's duct tape around their ankles and arms and they're not. I mean, that's just, I mean, you can't deny that one's abuse. You No. can't go, this is tough love. You can't go, well, she missed her lunch, so she's just not going to eat today. That's tough love. And that's kind of being a shitty parent too. But it's not emaciated children either. And at what point do you normalize emaciated children as being like tough love or part of your religion or part of how you're going to make them strong? Like, what is going on in your mind that ever becomes the go-to? And I know Kevin didn't know these things were going on by choice. I mean, granted, Jody and Ruby said, go away. That's the only way to keep our family together. But I'm sorry if someone says that to me, to my child, that about my relationship with my child, and I'm not going to see them for a year. I'm not just going to be like, okay, whatever you say. I mean, that there's something wrong there, Kevin, that hopefully now he sees. And I hope he does. But damn, that is spooky how much your religious beliefs and such can make you say, this is okay. And I don't know
it's
what it is.
It's frightening to allow that kind of trauma into your lives over the excuse that it's for religion.
Yeah. And then to justify abusing your kids or abandoning your kids, which is in fact what Kevin did, at the request of his wife. Again, all insane, all completely crazy behavior. And he should have just said, no, I'm going to pay attention here and you're going to have to do something. And if you don't agree, I'm going to take you to court. But none of that happened because they thought they all had it under control with the religious advisor that the Mormon said, she's lovely. And yeah, just blind faith. It's scary what that can do. In a resurfaced clip from Connections Classroom, Ruby told parents, if your child comes to you on fire, you don't pat them on the head and say, it's okay, I'll help you. No, you beat them and you kick them and you hit them with a rod. Yeah, that's actual footage. This was the parenting advice they were selling. And actually still are. You can still join the Connections if you really, truly want
to. Are you serious?
It's still out there.
Wow. Talk about needing to revamp your brand. I would hope.
Talking about reevaluating your life choices if you're going to Connections and going, let's see what they have here. And you're not an investigative reporter.
I would think the reviews would be off the chart negative, but I could be wrong.
Hey, you never know. Kevin, a professor and father of six, now admits he had no clue how bad things had gotten. He didn't see his kids for over a year before Ruby's arrest. And now he says he realizes just how dangerous her actions were. And yet his feelings towards Ruby are still complicated. Oh, complicated. Is it your relationship, your feelings are complicated, or your religion has complicated your vision of the world? Because I think it's a little more that. If you can get that a little more under control and not so in la la land, maybe you can see your situation a little clearer of your horrible wife and what she did, and you should be like, I want nothing to do with her. It is not complicated. I am going to have full custody of the children and she can rot in prison for the rest of her life. That should be the appropriate response, Kevin. I'm just saying, for your next interview.
Yeah, but he loves her, Tony.
I'm just saying for your next interview, because there is limits to love. Like when they abuse your children, that's where you're like, I'm out. Sorry, we're done here. I've done it. It works. You don't look back, and it feels good to walk away. I don't think I'll ever stop loving her, he admitted. Kevin, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Seriously, just shut the fuck up. You're not doing yourselves any favors here, Kevin. People were kind of getting on your side a bit. They were kind of like, I mean, I was getting on your side a bit. I was like, I kind of get it. I get somewhat, you know, how you get, but shut the fuck up.
Well, and that's...
And seek counseling from someone other than who Mormon says you should go to.
He's talking about how the internet and social media ruined his life. And yet he's getting out there and talking.
No,
and
it didn't. Your narcissistic C-word of a wife is what ruined your life. That's what ruined it. It's not the internet. It's not people looking at... People are going to find their shit to watch no matter what. She chose to make that her life's mission. And you chose to say, okay, cool. Let's film her basically borderline abusing our kids.
True.
Let's go. Yeah, go ahead. Go over to this lovely lady. And therapy says to kick me out for a year and not see my children. Because all therapy does that. I mean, come on. Do a little. There's a thing called the Google and the internets. And you can take a look out there and see if there's any other therapies out there like that. I tell you what, there's not. Unless you're referring to cults. So, no, it wasn't. Look. You could have figured this out. You could have seen it had you wanted to, Kevin. You could have. You chose not to. Under pressure and duress from wife and Jody, but you chose not to. So is there accountability for that? I think that's the big question that a lot of people are asking here, especially when you say shit like, I don't think I'll ever stop loving her. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Follows it up. Let's keep it in context. Does that mean that I want to let her back into my life, let her back into my kids' lives? Absolutely not. Well, then don't say something as stupid as, I think I'll always love her. If you want to have that, keep that one to yourself. The rest of the world doesn't need to know about that love that you still have for someone that did that. Because you know what? I ain't got no fucking love for anybody that did that in my world. None. Like, did I at one time love somebody like that? Yeah. Did I realize after that happened that I can easily say, love's over, game over, I'm done. Yeah. And Kevin, you know what? So could you. Both Ruby and Jody pled guilty to 4 counts of aggravated child abuse and will each spend at least 30 years in prison. And now with the release of the upcoming documentary, Devil in the Family, The Fall of Ruby Frankie, Kevin and his son, Chad, are speaking out. The doc will feature never-before-seen footage of Ruby's aggressive outburst because apparently there was more disturbing content that hadn't made it to YouTube. Now, Kevin's using his experience to warn other parents about the dangers of putting their family life on the internet. Again, do you think that that's the problem here, Stace?
I personally do. I think these are the type of people that could get really hooked on it. Like, I bet you money she was constantly looking to see how many likes she was getting. She
yes.
was feeding off of it.
But I bet you money, had they not gone on the internet, there'd been other some sort of crazy shit that would have happened with these people too. They probably would have just gone straight to cult.
Well, I think they were already there.
True. But I mean, I could see these folks being the type that break off a la Daybells. I mean, they were literally doing a lot of the same shit the Daybells were doing. Not Kevin, because Kevin was, you know, on hiatus, pretending he wasn't a dad for a year. But they had all these stories of, like, supernatural shit going on in their house, or at least claiming. Like, cabinets are opening, dishes are flying, shit like that. And, I mean, it got really weird. And then there's talk in some of these letters and some of the diary entries that we've seen where they literally start believing the kids are possessed.
Yeah. I think there is some serious mental illness going on here.
Yes.
I think it was exacerbated by them being on the internet and getting that adrenaline rush of people are liking my stuff and getting that feeling of adrenaline from people interacting and clicking that like, and they're seeing the millions of views and they're feeling important and they're feeling like, I can't get enough of this. I can't get enough. I'm going to go back the next day. And, you know, we've all done it. We'll post something somewhere and we go back and look and go, shit, 400 likes. It sparks something in your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was a toxic mix. I do not blame the interwebs alone. I'm going to say it's a mix of the narcissistic personality of Ruby Frankie and probably other personality disorders at play there. The Mormon church, and just the very, here's what you do. Don't go off our path of what we tell you to do. Here's your counselor. And she happens to be nuts. So add church and Jody into the mix. And honestly, I would say the bigger pieces of this are not the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not. It brought it to light. It certainly got her fix of people. But had she not done the video, the 8 passengers thing, and just fed off of pictures and stuff, or just kind of was more of the average mom on there that's not running a million-dollar entity. I think she probably would have fed herself just fine on that with her ego, but I don't know. I mean, I think that there's just, I think she was a train wreck waiting to happen with just those ingredients there. The church, her personality disorders, and you mix Jody Hildebrandt into it. I think you could take eight passengers out and it really wouldn't, it would just be another piece of the chapter. But I don't think you get Jodie Hildebrand as interested in her, because Jodie was just trying to use her, I think, to get attention and to basically steal her audience for her mission. So that could have created some frictions, or they could have just been another client of Jodie, because she had so many other raving clients that we've learned about. That yeah. Marriages that she destroyed there, and families that she destroyed that weren't, you know, internet famous. So,
oh, very true.
Let's watch a clip of the this from ABC News and the this new is a new doc, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's take a look.
Wife, Ruby, sole ambition was to be seen as the perfect mom.
Frankie's estranged husband, Kevin, and oldest son, Chad, now opening up in a new Hulu docuseries, Devil in the Family, The Fall of Ruby Frankie.
She just wanted to show the view of a Mormon happy family, but they only saw what we wanted to show them.
Both sitting down exclusively for the first time since Ruby's arrest.
It was so outlandish to me that it had to have been fabricated.
Before their YouTube fame, Kevin and Chad say the Frankies lived a normal life.
I had very fond memories as a young child.
Did you think your mom was a good mom?
I would say so, yeah.
We just felt very much like an average family.
At what point did it all change?
I think once companies started coming to us offering big money for scripts.
Be excited to tell them where your name came from, even if you have to fake it. Fake being happy. Okay?
I don't know if I can right now.
It was a chaotic experience. So lots of yelling, lots of snapping, and lots of timeouts in the corner.
Everything that Chad and Kevin remembered about this crazy story was meticulously documented. It was like having camera crews inside the house over a decade.
Kevin and Chad say the family dynamic really shifted after Ruby hired this woman.
I'm Jodie Hildebrand.
Therapist and life coach Jodie Hildebrand, to work with their family.
She came across as somebody who was firm and very authoritative. So we thought, oh, this is a perfect fit. What became surprising to me was when the focus gradually shifted away from just solely on our children to us as a couple.
Do you feel like she brainwashed you?
She took control of something that was very, very important to me. My marriage, my family. And she used those like a carrot on a stick.
Looking back, I treated her as a god, and I trusted her so much.
Kevin says Jodie and Ruby insisted he move out and cut off contact with his family to work on his addiction to selfishness.
How could you have left your family?
The bottom right. line is that I was choosing to trust a licensed professional mental health counselor and my wife.
What do you want people to know?
There is real danger when you place yourself or your family, your children, out onto public social media, to be just careful with who they choose to put their faith in, to put their trust in, because it can have massive consequences in your life.
I'd say be more careful about who you say I do to.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's missing the boat on this completely. I however he's going to get through this, get through it, because those kids do need a father, even if it is him. But I think he's missing the boat where this is like so strongly on YouTube and people putting themselves out there. You know what? There's thousands of people who put themselves out there, and this shit doesn't happen to them. It's not like we're seeing an overabundance of cults being started like this, and then you end up abusing your kids. No, that was Ruby. That was you enabling. That was you being there and not saying stop. It's not the fucking internet. That was the parenting that you stood by and said, okay, do what you will, Ruby. It's not the internet, Kevin. It's not. to personality.
It's time for him to take some responsibility for this.
Yes.
And his role in it. And I hope he's getting the help that he so desperately deserves at this point.
I wonder if he was on help at that moment in time in that interview.
I hope so.
I mean, literally, I wonder if there was something going on, because is he always that chill?
Well, he doesn't have that monster in his life right now. So
I know.
That's got to give him a sense of...
I just got relief. Kind of a vibe that, I don't know. I don't know. It kind of felt like, did you have a little before jumping on camera here? Or
God, I hope so.
And you know what? I would not fucking blame him one iota. I'd be living on it.
Oh, I hope he does.
I would be living on it. That'd be the only way to kind of get by. But he seemed a little chill. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, and I'm not accusing you of that, Kevin, but I'm just, you were really chill, and that's kind of how it came across.
The monster is gone.
Nothing wrong with any of that. I wonder. I wonder if the monster is going to be gone forever.
It's a very good question.
Because, you know, she will get out at some point, and I don't know. Still loves her. Doesn't want her back, you know, now, but when all the kids are gone and it's just them, is that a different life? Is that a different Ruby that you'd get then? Or I would hope there's not any thoughts still in his mind of reconciliation. And I'm not saying that there are. I would just hope that there's not. The fact that he's saying the thing, and I'll always love her publicly. That just, if you're still feeling any of that to someone that did that sort of shit. I'm going to go back to the 90s and say this and close it on this. Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
The world of true crime never stops, and neither do we. Press subscribe now to get daily updates, in-depth analysis, and expert opinions from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.